Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom he died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
Hello, my friends. This is Todd Tomasella with SafeguardYourSoul.com. We have seen great open doors to the ministry of God's Word this summer. 18 souls have been saved. And the Lord is the great God of the harvest, as Jesus told us. And He did say that we are to pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Listen, if you're listening to me right now and you're a true born-again believer, you name the name of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and God has saved you, you are to be participating in the Great Commission. If you're not, then your life is not fulfilling the purpose for which God saved you, and it's not fulfilling a New Testament purpose. In fact, there's a lot of so-called ministries that have no intention, much less action, concerning reaching the lost souls of this world. And you know, the lost aren't going to reach the lost. The government certainly isn't going to reach the lost. It's only one entity. It's only one entity. That's the body of Christ, the house of God. That has nothing to do with a physical building. Only one people can win the lost to the Lord, and that's those who have the life of God in them. Life begets life. It's only those who have eternal life, even Jesus Christ, dwelling in them in a saving relationship, who can reach the lost. Otherwise, they will not be reached and they will perish. This is a very critical matter. I know some people don't want this responsibility, but it doesn't change the fact that this responsibility is upon us. The critical nature of evangelism cannot be overemphasized. The souls of men perish daily for the lack of obedience to the Great Commission and the support of it. One of the greatest hindrances to the gospel that we've seen over the last 26 years in ministry has been a lack of financial support. And the Bible speaks about that in Romans 10. It says, verse 13 through 15, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?" Paul asked. "And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" See, and that may be where you come in. We are all to be participating in the Great Commission, to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and to go and teach all men all things that I have taught you, said the Lord Jesus. So how shall the preachers go except they be sent? So that the people can hear and be saved, this was what Paul is saying here. And he says here, and he quotes Isaiah 52:7, he says, "As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." That's in 13 through 15. When God's people do not do what Jesus commanded, there are consequences. There are eternal consequences. Make no mistake, precious eternal souls are in the balance and will perish if the body of Christ does not obey Jesus' Great Commission command. Every true Christian must be involved. Every true Christian will be involved. It's actually a blessing. It's good news that we all get to participate in one or more ways, as we read in Romans 10, 14, and 15. There are those who go and those who send on every mission that does and is fulfilling the Great Commission. In fact, speaking of soul winning, Jesus said, "He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal, unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." There's a whole plan of compensation, if you will, or rewards that God is going to give for those who lead many to righteousness, says the book of Daniel. In fact, Daniel says, "And they that be wise shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6 says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves or his harvest with him." See, this is a picture of a soul winner. "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." Psalm 126. "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." Now, perhaps those tears have to do with being brokenhearted before the Lord and having a contrite spirit before him. Every true believer will have a contrite, humble heart and will be learning of the Lord and will begin to sow in tears, if you will, or with a heart passion and a heartbeat to reach the lost of this world who are perishing for lack of being reached with the gospel of Jesus. And then in verse 6, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed," bearing the precious seed of the Word of God, the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, says 1 Peter. Okay, the Word of God never returns void. Jesus said the seed is the Word of God. Luke 8:11. So we know he's talking about the Word of God here. "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed." See, people can't get saved until they hear the gospel. They hear the law, they're convicted, and they hear the gospel. David said, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul and converting sinners, making wise the simple." He also said, "The entrance of thy word giveth light." Psalm 119:130. So those who go forth and those who participate in the command of Jesus to go preach and to go teach all men all things he's taught us, they go forth with a humble heart in the love of God. See, Jesus was moved with compassion, Matthew 9:35-39, on the people when he saw them as sheep who had no shepherd. And then he said that we are to, the laborers truly are few, but the harvest is plenteous. "Therefore, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Now, we are saying, "Lord, here we are, send us." He is sending us, and we need your help. We need your help, because we can only do as much as we have the fuel, if you will, to do such. But this is a blessing. This is an opportunity that opens up to all of us so that we can all participate in the eternal fruit, spending time in this life, frivolously spending time and money on things that do not have any eternal impact. Is a very wasteful undertaking. Very wasteful. Jesus said to lay not up for your yourself treasures on this earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moss nor rust doth corrupt, and thieves do not break through and steal. Now, he said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. When you start putting your time and effort into the Great Commission, and your treasure mainly, he said that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. When you put your money into the Great Commission, then your heart is going to follow. The heart affections of those who help in the work of Christ follow the giving of their money into the joy of the gospel. Praise God. The Great Commission is twofold. Jesus said in the end of Matthew, in the Great Commission utterance there, as recorded by the Apostle Matthew, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, teaching them, see the word teach appears twice at least, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Matthew 28:18-20. So the Great Commission does not only involve winning them into Christ, but also to teach them the ways of the Lord. Okay, to begin to feed them the Word of God, to begin to get them in the Word of God. And that's what a lot of our time and resources go into, is getting Christians into the Word of God. And you know, if you've noticed, we get a little provocative in that matter, and you know, the reason for it is to provoke people to realize the great need to get the Word of God in you. In fact, Paul says in Colossians 2, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So he tells every believer to be rooted and built up. As you have received Christ, be rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith. Amen. Peter said that as newborn babes, we are to desire the sincere, the pure milk of the Word, so that we may grow thereby. So these are the apostles of Jesus confirming what he said. In fact, we read in 1 Timothy 4 that in order to be a good minister, quote, a good minister of Jesus Christ, we've got to be nourished up in the words of eternal life and nourish up others in the same. 1 Timothy 4, verse 6 and 16. And to feed the flock of God, to feed or tend to and give the word to the flock of God over and over, feed my sheep. Okay? So, and then in Mark's account, Jesus says that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So, simple twofold approach and commission here. It's one commission, and it's fulfilled by teaching and preaching the Word of God, seeing people come into the kingdom of God, and then establishing them in the Lord so they're rooted and grounded and they don't fall away. Now, we have seen in every city we've been in this spring and summer, and now getting into the fall, that there are many who have the Word of God sown in their hearts, maybe the first time in a lot of cases. Praise God. The process of salvation in their life, if you will, not the process, but the process of them being convicted and coming to salvation, I should say, has to start somewhere. If you look back in your life, you'll probably recognize, as most of us have, that we heard the Word of God, and the Lord began to convict us, and then we heard it again, and you know, it got watered, and then finally the Lord brought us to salvation. So we have to get that process started in people's lives. You know, Paul said, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. 1 Corinthians 3:6-9. Now, other people that we've met have already heard the Word of God, and we are able to sow more seed and so that the Lord can convict them. Praise God that the Word of God never returns void, but it always accomplishes that for which God sends it. Isaiah says, Isaiah 55:11. And others, in every city we've been into ministering, in every place, others have been ready to be saved. Now, folks, we're not forcing anybody, but we are persuading men Paul the Apostle said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. 2 Corinthians 5:11. So, in persuading those men, under the anointing of the Spirit, because Jesus said he would confirm with signs following the word preached, and under the Spirit of God's power, the power of the Spirit of God, several people, well over a dozen, have been convicted and brought by the Lord into eternal life upon repenting and turning their whole life over to him. And there is story after story of people like Deshaun and Marquis. As soon as they got saved, we gave them a stack of tracts, and they immediately went around the block and passed them all out. Hallelujah. Got the Word of God. They begin to be sowers of the Word of God, which is exactly what they are to be. That's exactly what you and I are to be. You know, I hear a lot of people saying, I give to my church. But I would ask you something. Are you proud of that? Have you really thought about that? Is that really what Jesus would have you to do? Is that fulfilling a New Testament purpose? You see, does the Lord want you giving to your church or to the church to fulfill the Lord Jesus's Great Commission command? Christ never told us to go build a physical building or to go camp out into some little Christian club on Sunday morning to be entertained and to make ourselves feel better. You see, a lot of people give to the local church because it's a selfishly motivated thing. They want to feel like they're participating in that little social group, not in obeying God in the fear of the Lord. They want a good place to sit on Sunday morning. This is unfortunate, but it's true. They want a nice little comfortable setting. You see, that's working against the Lord in more than one way. God doesn't want you and me comfortable. He wants us productive and fruitful. In fact, God's a God who, if you follow him, he'll make you uncomfortable so that he gets that output, that fruit out of your life. And one of them being the fulfillment of the Great Commission. That's obeying the Lord. Jesus said, if you deny me, I will deny you before my Father. But if you confess me, I will confess you. Are you confessing Christ? And are you teaching others the Word of God as you're learning the Word of God? And are you participating as a sender, sending other laborers into the harvest? Because Jesus said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. See, again, Christ and his apostles never built even one physical structure to advance the kingdom of God, which is a what? Spiritual house, quote unquote, a spiritual house. 1 Peter 2:5. Jesus told us to go teach and to go preach his word so men could be saved into his glorious eternal kingdom and be taught his truth and established in the faith. So for this reason, true disciples of Christ should only support those works which are sincerely preaching and teaching God's word faithfully and diligently according to Jesus' Great Commission command and the words of the holy apostles of Jesus. Doesn't a physical building absorb the whole time? Think about it. Does a physical building not absorb all the time, monies, and energies of the people, yoking them down to it and that organization and completely stopping them from doing what Christ called us to do, to go teach and preach the word? I think if you'll meditate upon that, you will see that a physical building, especially when it's overemphasized and the local organization is overemphasized, which is about the case in about 99.9% of Sunday morning gatherings. I'm sorry to hear that. I mean to say that, and you may be sorry to hear that, but the Bible says that the end is not coming until there be a great falling away. Friend, if we're going to reach lost souls and obey Christ and end this life, this race, running in a sprint to the end as we run this race, we're going to have to get involved in the Great Commission in one or more ways. Hallelujah. Also, have you personally discovered exactly what the earliest church or the earliest Christians did with the money and possessions that they gave? If you read Acts 2 and Acts 4, you'll find out. Okay, they were giving to supply the needs of others. Okay, and to fund the work of God, not to build a physical building. We are a spiritual house. 1 Peter 2:5. Among the saints in the early church, no monies went to build a physical building, but rather to take care of God's building. The Lord says in 1 Corinthians 3:9, ye are God's building. Get it? Has any pastor ever told you that? Ye are God's building. You, the body of Christ. You're bought with a price. We're bought with a price. We're one body in Christ, and we are the building of God. Jesus said, I will build my church. What is church? Church comes from the Greek word ekklesia. Ekklesia means the called out ones, the people of God. Jesus came to die for people. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, 1 Timothy 1:15. He didn't come to establish people, to lead his people and build their organizations. Jesus said, I will build my church, my people. And that means by adding souls to the church. As you read the book of Acts, you see over and over that many souls or souls were added to the church. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. That's how Jesus is building his church, through his people obeying him in the Great Commission, preaching and teaching his word faithfully in the love of God. Move with compassion upon those who are sheep without a shepherd. And that's how God builds his church. Jesus promised, and he didn't lie, and he's still doing it today, and he will until he comes, building his church. Jesus said, Matthew 16:18, I believe it is, I will build my church. And that is, in that context, speaking of adding to his church and building depth in his people through the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and growing in the knowledge, the grace and peace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, of knowing him deeper and deeper, and being established in the faith through proper teaching and learning, and then beginning to teach yourself, amen, teach others. The best way to learn is to teach, and that's part of fulfilling the Great Commission command. Regrettably, though, nearly all local churches or church organizations in this late hour of the great falling away are nothing more than a business that exists to perpetuate their own existence, and so they only entertain and do not faithfully preach and teach the full counsel of the Word of God. And let me tell you, friend, they are not fulfilling the Great Commission command of Jesus. I want to encourage you to get behind those works that are truly fulfilling the Great Commission command. I can tell you, they need your help. They need your help. That's one thing that you'll never see a true gospel ministry having a problem with, and that's having a problem with too much funding. You'll find that if you have any worries of whether or not they're being funded, I can tell you right now from a quarter of a century of experience that they are never going to be overfunded. You get the message? Okay, so give, friend, give. Jesus did say, if you give, he's going to give to you. And he also said, if you'll give your first fruits, he'll make your barns to overflow with plenty. Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10. If you'll obey God and seek first his kingdom, all these other things will be added unto you. When Jesus spoke to the Israelites and said, try me, prove me, he was talking about money, I believe, in Malachi 3. You know, like it or not, I'm not teaching tithing, but, you know, somebody said, God, you can't outgive God. I believe that. I believe that. We can't throw away the promises of God attached to giving because other people have misused it. So let's be responsible citizens of the kingdom of God and do our part to see the lost souls of this world saved, and to see them taught, and all Christians taught, the Word of God. God bless you, friend. Please enjoy the website, safeguardyoursoul.com. It's set up and worked on daily for the edification of the body of Christ, to win lost souls, and to teach, to fulfill the commission to teach the Word of God. God bless you. We see the Great Commission and its twofold purpose fulfilled throughout the book of Acts. And Acts chapter 8, verse 4, when persecution hit the church and the Christians in Jerusalem, it says, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. You see, the friends, they had been, the early church met house to house daily and worshiped the Lord and worshiped him individually and together by continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. This is Acts 2:42. Okay, right after Pentecost, right after the church was born. Amen. I love the book of Acts because we can go and look back at the early state of the church, which is was a glorious state before all the corruption and all the self-serving wolves have entered in and built their religious empires, which we now see today in all of these Protestant denominations and etc. And obviously the Roman Catholic cult, that's pretty obvious, but that's not Christian. But among those who claim to know the Lord, the Protestant denominations, the evangelical, whatever, and now you've got the explosion of the emergent and seeker-friendly sickness, as I call it, or circus houses, and no resemblance, not even the slightest resemblance of fulfilling the Great Commission command. It's totally apostate in fulfillment of the many prophecies in the New Testament about this late last hour. Now, and that's again one of the most incredible reasons why we do have the book of Acts. So we can go back. We don't have to follow church history so much as go back to the church history recorded in the book of Acts, which is inspired by God, so that you and I can know what it is to fulfill the plan of God for our lives. The Lord has not changed. His program is still to win lost souls and have them established deeply in the faith through teaching them the Word of God and getting them into the Word of God. So in the book of Acts, we see this in many ways. And in one way, one example we see it and observe it is that, again, in Acts 8:4, when persecution hit Jerusalem, they that were scattered abroad, all the believers, went everywhere preaching the word. Why? Well, they were equipped. You see, Ephesians 4:11 and 12 and 13 tell us that the reason for God-fearing under-shepherds or elders, if you will, or just people that are disciples, and teaching the word of God is to perfect the saints or mature them, to have them become deeply established in the word of God. When you feed sheep, they grow, amen? And God's sheep grow, and then they're able to go forth and do the work of the ministry, for the work of the ministry, amen? See, those who are servant-leading, they're to be the greatest servants, and they can begin to behold that the Lord is using them. If they're obeying Him, He's using them to teach others. When others begin to take up the responsibility to do the work of the Lord themselves, do the work of the ministry, amen? And in most cases today, you got people who are in leadership positions that are totally counterfeit. They don't want people doing the Word of God. They want to be depended on. They want to be the go-to guy, if you will. They want everybody looking to them. Listen, a true servant of Christ wants to be replaced, if you will, by those he teaches. He wants them to go higher and do more, if you will, than he has ever done. Not to keep them under his thumb so he can control them and receive of their money and build his little church empire at their expense. That is turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and making merchandise of the people. That is a fraud. So, the earliest believers were participating in continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They were being taught the word of God, Acts 2:42. And therefore, when persecution hit Jerusalem, they were equipped to go forth, and they all went out and ministered the word of God. Friend, listen, to communicate the word of God does not mean you have to get some wooden crate and stand on top of it on a street corner. That's a great thing to do. Hallelujah. If you want to do that, you feel inclined, please do that. Okay? The labors are few, but we have to communicate the Word of God. If we're believers in Jesus Christ, we have to fulfill the Great Commission by not only helping send others with our finances. Yeah, put your money where your mouth is. Amen? It's about time some of us stop throwing our money into a church basket to perpetuate a local organization or pastor, okay? And to sink, just throw that money into a black pit that's, you know, paying for things that are not fulfilling a Great Commission purpose that Jesus sent us forth to fulfill, to teach His Word and to preach. It doesn't take a building to do that, okay? The world is God's pulpit, amen? And it should be ours. Because the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the whole earth. And for us to go and teach and go and preach. Amen? He didn't say go invite them in to your little local church. You don't see any example of that in the New Testament scriptures. No. What you see is people going out to the people to serve them by giving them the Word of God and letting God convict them and bring them into the kingdom. Amen. We got a letter from a guy named Ty, a blessed brother, who we've been in connection with for several years now. And he says that he, in his letter he handwrote, he says that he's very frustrated with turning on the TV and seeing people, you know, try to get him and others to sow their seed, you know. Plant the seed of obedience, you know, all these charlatans he's talking about. He says that he enjoys and would much rather sow seeds into ministries that are fulfilling a New Testament purpose, that's saving souls on the street through the guidance of God, he says. And he said that's a much better seed to plant because it produces saved souls. Amen. Putting the seed of the Word of God, you know, every Christian has money in this world and is responsible before God to give to those that are in need around us, the body of Christ in particular, like the early church did, and to help the work of the ministry in those that are faithfully fulfilling the plan of God as is clearly seen in the New Testament scriptures. And the blessed part of it is that there are expenses. That opens the opportunity for all of us to participate and to reap fruit unto eternal life. Amen. In fact, Jesus himself taught this in John 4, beginning in verse 34 through 39. Jesus says, John 4, Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Amen. What did Jesus say the Father sent him to do? He said he's come to seek and to save that which was lost. I believe that's Luke 19:10. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And make no mistake, every true disciple of Christ is seeking to save that which is lost. The lost souls of this world. Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has sent forth you. He has sent forth me to participate in winning lost souls into his kingdom. And at that juncture, I want to say this. We produce gospel tracts. And as I said earlier, that costs money to print them so that we can get them into the hands of the lost. We've got some dynamic tracts that were actually developed from street ministry and have resulted in the salvation of many for the last 25 years since the first one was written and published in 1987. You can go on the website and read them under tracks, under the tracks button at safeguardyoursoul.com, safeguardyoursoul.com. So this expense is actually a blessing. You know, what if you, my friend, could send $20 a month to help print these tracts? 50. Some of you could send a lot more than that. There's not much, I don't believe, from reading the Word of God myself, you judge it for yourself, I don't believe there's too many better places to put the Word of God than into gospel tracts. And if you read these tracts, you'll see that they do not, they mince no words. They are compact, they are powerful, they're convicting, and they give people the opportunity to be saved. Amen. Jesus says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Finishing his work. That's what we're to be accomplishing and finishing. is his work, to go and to preach so that lost souls can be saved and taught the word of God. Verse 35, John 4. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. So Jesus says, do not hesitate. Do not say there are yet 4 months till harvest. No, do not say this. He says, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, in other words, now, and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. They're ready to be harvested now. Hesitation will bring damnation to many. People are not just going to somehow get saved. Okay? No, they're not. Jesus has a program. He said, you go preach to them, and I'll confirm the word that you preach, my word, if you preach my word. Confirm it with signs following. That greatest sign being the salvation of lost souls. But God needs your efforts, your obedience, my obedience, to participate in going out to the lost. Amen? And then he says in verse 36, John 4, and he that reapeth, receiveth wages. Amen. Those that labor in the harvest of lost souls, being used of the Lord, one plants, another waters, God brings the increase. Amen. They are going to gather fruit unto life eternal. Now, some of us have a lot of money laid up. We've spent our whole adult life building for these few years of retirement that we have in mind at the end of our work career. And, you know, but we've, many of us have completely or largely neglected the opportunity to sow into eternal reaping, into ground that's going to produce eternally, not just for a few years at the end of this fleeting earthly life, which who knows if we're even going to make it to that time. I mean, let's face it, folks, the end is upon us. Look around you at the signs. We all know that the end is near. So what if the end comes and you've got all this money in the bank that could have been used for the furtherance of the gospel and the winning of lost souls, and yet you chose to love your life in this world and build toward your own self-preservation at the end of your brief earthly days? The Bible says that this life is like a vapor of smoke that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. You see, the people that die with money in the bank, that money could have been used to reach lost souls. Now somebody says, well, are you saying that God wasn't going to save those souls anyway? Yes, I am. Jesus has a program. He sends us. If we don't go because we're disobedient or we're underfunded, then lost souls are going to go to hell. That's the bottom line. It does not matter if you and I want to face that reality or not. It's still a reality. If we neglect the Great Commission, souls will go to hell on that basis. I'm sorry. I know that's a harsh reality, but it is. And it's time we take the gospel serious and stop treating it as a game or something that's not important. It's very important. Jesus came and bled to die for these lost souls. This is everything to the Lord. This is the meat of God to finish his work. And that is to do what? To seek and to save that which was lost. And part of his program is to send you and I forth. You and I, that he's made new creatures in Christ as ambassadors for Christ, ministers of reconciliation, as we see at the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Okay, so Jesus says that when you participate in the Great Commission, you gather fruit unto life eternal. Amen. And then verse 37, and herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. That is, you know, we see that scripture fulfilled every time we go to the street. Because when we go to the street, we're reaching, there's three different kind of people we're reaching. Number one, the Christians. We're running to brothers and sisters, and we fellowship with them for a few moments, and try to build them up, give them resources. If they don't have a King James Bible, we carry them with us. We give them a King James Bible, etc. We get them plugged into the website or whatever we can do to pray with them or whatever to help them grow in grace and grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, okay, which is part of the Great Commission. to teach all men all things, and to nourish up with the words of eternal life the body of Christ, to feed the sheep of Christ. Amen. Also, we meet backslidden people. They're lost. They're in danger and jeopardy of hellfire. And we help them to be restored. We've seen several pray this summer alone, that needed to be restored. And also, the lost, the third type class of people that we meet and we reach out to is the lost. And we, many times, they've already had the Word of God sown in their heart in one fashion or the other, somewhere in their life. And, you know, there we are, laboring and entering into the labors of other men, as we see Jesus speaking of here in John 4:37 and 38. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labor. See, sometimes when the harvest comes, when salvation comes, it's because God's already been convicting these people. Somebody else sowed the word of God in their lives somewhere, and they're convicted, and they're ready to get saved. And we give them the ultimatum, you know. We tell them, listen, is there any, you know, once it gets to a certain point and they're convicted and the Lord is putting on our hearts to do, I normally tell them, I say, listen, is there any reason why you couldn't repent right now and receive Christ? Now, this is after we've given them some of the Ten Commandments and asked them to admit that they have, they have vilely sinned against the Holy God by committing these sins. And when they admit to that, I normally tell them that they're in big trouble. They're in big trouble. Big, big trouble. Because they've sinned against their holy Creator and Judge. And they're separated from Him. And then I let that soak into their heart. Let the weight of that come down upon them. And then I give them the gospel of Jesus. How Jesus came and took our sins upon His own body, being crucified on the altar of the cross. He that knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Hallelujah. That is the great exchange. That's the greatest news that this earth will ever hear and have. Jesus Christ, who was, while we were yet sinners, He came and He made peace for us between Him and God, and gives us that peace through imputed righteousness. Amen. Actually, He made peace by the blood of His cross, I should say. Colossians 1:20 and Isaiah 53 comes to mind. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. God laid upon Him, even as the Lamb of God who took the sins of the world upon His own back as the scapegoat, if you will, and took them away. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. But it's only when one surrenders, repents, and turns to God, placing his faith in Christ, that the merit, the perfect merit, and the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed unto him. And folks, people are not going to accidentally hear this message. We must go. We must send others to go. We must fulfill the great commission command of Jesus Christ.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcast on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture rich and Christ centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month. And your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site. And you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon. And you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so. And a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.